This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, April 1st edition of Byers & Company. How's your mental health right now? Your anxiety? We're going to walk you through that with Charmaine. Wayne's going to be in and we'll have our final spotlight today of our building support for local businesses. Next.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a Wednesday. It is our great pleasure to welcome back to the program Charmaine Robertson Stoner. See, I got it right that time. How are we doing this morning?
Good morning, Brian. Thank you so much for having me back.
Charmaine is with The Crossing. She's a behavioral health supervisor. You've worked as a child welfare specialist, a psychotherapist, a clinical director, all kinds of clients across the mental health spectrum, ranging from ages 3 to 73. I mean, you've got a lot of experience, and that's why I can't think of a better person to talk to, as we have so many people sitting at home right now with different levels of anxiety, right? Financial anxiety, being cooped up anxiety, kids not being able to go to school, people outside of their routines. You know, it's just a mess out there, and I want to talk to you about how people can do their best to cope with it, and then also maybe about some resources that are available. Let's start with just sort of the financial anxiety. I kind of feel like we're all in the same boat. You know what I mean? If it all crashes, it all crashes and we rebuild. But there's a lot of people out there worrying about where rent's going to come from, where money's going to come from. How do they get through that?
It's very true. Yes, absolutely. Thanks again, Brian, for having me. So I think that's real, right? So when we talk about financial anxiety and then a host or a plethora of other types of anxiety, it's a shared and a common, it's a commonality amongst us as human beings. So we are, you know, in similar situations, though some people are struggling even more because they've been laid off their jobs or now they just have one income or no income. And so on top of already having sort of this pandemic going on, things that are substantially outside of their control, and now there's also this added pressure or stressor of how am I going to pay the bills, and how am I going to afford groceries. And we understand that there's some things in the making sort of with our government, and, you know, there's people who hopefully will benefit from those resources, but then it's also waiting for them to come. And not understanding, you know, everyone's financial situation with that. I think a part of what I think of is if you are, you know, sort of fortunate enough to still have an employer right now, one of the things I sort of my go-tos is our EAP or Employee Assistance Program. And I think now is a great time more than ever to reach out to your human resource department or and sort of follow up and see, do I have EAP and what benefits and coverage do I have as an employee? So most people just sort of associate EAP with counseling services, and that is a number one benefit, of course. But EAP can also have a financial advisor available as well. And now might be a good time to have those consultations. You know, if I'm on a budget or I have a small savings or a fixed income or what have you, how can I allocate my resources and make them last?
Yeah. And also, Charmaine, there's no shame in asking for help. There's a lot of people coming together in this community right now that are doing it just because it's the right thing to do. You know, there's food being made available. There's no shame in that, because I think you have a lot of people in this country that feel like there's a stigma or they've never reached out to ask for help. They maybe don't even know how to. But that's what a community does. We pull together and we help each other.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we're sort of proud in that way, you know, so like, the whole concept of pull your own self up by your own bootstraps, you know, that's null and void probably always, but especially now. I would say that none of us have sort of gotten where we are in a bubble or in isolation. And so we have to reach out for support, you know, and sort of even kind of leading into the topic of how introverts and extroverts are doing during this time, you know, sort of what's the difference between the two. The first thing probably I would note is I like to think about it sort of as that we're on a continuum or a spectrum, that none of us are kind of all or nothing, because we all need connection and we all need respite. So that's just the way it is. But folks who are more extroverted are likely more likely to reach out for support. and say, hey, you know, this is kind of what I need right now. So we all, again, we have this common experience going on, something that we've never experienced in our lifetime before. And so to your point, now more than ever, it's important to reach out and identify resources and how they might impact you and or people you may know.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's the SAMHSA hotline, which we can talk about here in a minute. There are other resources, clearly Crossing being one of those. But thankfully, you know, we have the ability through technology to still sort of have these shared experiences, you know, with FaceTime or whatever. And if that's, you know, there are people that have that social need, which I think sometimes is leading people to bad decisions, like going and doing things out in public they shouldn't be right now. And try to do that through, you know, the technology.
Yeah, no, it's very true. You know, it's sort of technology, I think, right now, or social media, or, you know, our phones or virtual platforms are likely a part of the, at least, emotional cure at this time, because we have to find ways to stay connected. Some of the, you know, researchers and literature also suggest that, as opposed to noting that it's social isolation, it's more of physical isolation, because we still need to have the sense of connection, right? So it requires us to become creative in how we do that and how we stay connected. But I think that's easier for us, you know, when we're kind of put in positions, we have to think outside of the box. And I think that lots of people have been creative. I've seen lots of creative things in terms of folks staying connected with one another. It's necessary for survival as well, even emotional survival.
No doubt. Let's talk about routine. The people, as you mentioned, that are still holding on to jobs are working harder, longer hours in unbelievably different conditions than what they're used to. Routines have been yanked out from under us, right? I mean, by this pandemic. I decided this week that I was going to start doing a gratitude journal. We're going to start walking and making sure I got outside just to get some sunshine, hopefully, and physical exercise. But creating these routines, how important is that in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, what you just said about a gratitude journal, and I think that's really important. You know, it's very easy to experience heightened senses of helplessness and hopelessness right now. And so if we can grab onto something that's going well, or something that we have at least some control over or resemblance of control, that's what we sort of want to hold on to. So again, going back to the things that I can do, I can wake up and kind of, you know, still set my alarm clock and maybe go for a walk. I still need to maybe exercise my legs while maintaining a healthy social distance with other folks. I can write down what's going well, you know, for us and or our community. There are some communities that have been obviously hit even in this very moment way harder than ours. And so kind of looking around and being mindful in sort of the sense of gratitude of what is going well and maybe what I can control. But maintaining a sense of routine, I think, will help so that we don't kind of accept this as some folks have called it like a new normal, right? So this can't be our new normal. This is the extreme measures that we have to take at this time in order to maintain our safety and the safety of those around us. But this will not be, when we look over the trajectory, you know, this won't be for the rest of our lives, right, if we put it in that context. So staying in some sort of rhythm, I think it's almost this silent reinforcer to yourself that this too shall pass.
Yeah, and you can create your own normal within this new normal while it lasts. I mean, you do have control over that. You worked as a child welfare specialist. What do parents say to kids depending on the age? I mean, this can be a big, bad, scary thing. Their school year has been blown. I feel so bad for people. Like, you know, that's superficial stuff like prom and graduations and things like that. But what do parents tell their kids? What should they tell their kids? How should they empower their kids? You know, there's a lot of different questions on that front out there. We've got a 16-year-old. I mean, you know, that sort of like in and of itself is its own challenge. But what do parents tell kids?
Yeah, I think almost to a certain extent what parents tell their kids is almost what they tell themselves, right? So I think, first of all, acknowledging how their kids feel right now. What is their knowledge or level of understanding as to what is happening around them and to them, right? And so also checking in with ourselves. I think it's important that however we feel in this moment, it's important to normalize that, right? So if I'm feeling overwhelmed, that's okay. If I'm feeling hopeful, that's okay as well. whatever we're feeling in this moment, whatever your kiddos are feeling, it's important to normalize that. I think it's also important to instill hope. And again, it's not a false sense of hope because this too shall pass again. And so knowing that at some point this shall pass. And so being mindful of that. I think also it's a reminder of when we talk about acknowledging how we feel, there's a lot of work from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and David Kessler. And so we talk about the five stages of grief and loss. But really, we're experiencing grief. We're experiencing those stages of grief. And so depending maybe on where we are with this pandemic might be kind of where we're falling on the in the stages, but that initial sense of denial, like, you know, this is over there and that's happening, you know, in those countries and this won't happen to us, right? Because we can't even wrap our minds around things like this happening. And then bargaining, right? So, you know, our leadership is sort of telling us to, you know, stay in our homes and things to that nature. And so we might say, okay, I'll do this, right? For what, 2 weeks or so? I'll do this and then we'll be done. That sense of bargaining as well, sadness or depressive feelings or features. And so that's normal as well. Will this end? Will this impact me? Will this impact my family? You know, what is this going to be like? There's a whole lot of that's a sense of fear and worry with that. And then, again, this may happen and this might not happen, but some folks do come to a sense of acceptance that this is our new normal in this moment, and I'll have to figure out what I can and cannot control. And I'll wake up every day and we'll keep going, whatever that means for us. There's also this idea of maybe this sixth concept now that David Kessler was talking about, which is finding meaning, finding a new sense of meaning or purpose, right? And so I think right now we're in those times where we can't help but to find a new sense of purpose. So again, like the gratitude journal that you were mentioning, you know, what will happen when this is over? What's my plan? What can I do now? This will forever change us, right? And so how do I want to change and even grow from this experience, even though this is sort of completely outside of my control?
We're visiting with Charmaine Robertson-Stoner, behavioral health supervisor at Crossing Healthcare. Charmaine, even people who are handling this well are going through incredibly brutal things. I read heartbreak stories where people are saying goodbye to loved ones on walkie-talkies. You know, there are people who are dying, you know, and you can't have funerals. You know, all of these things that we've been taught generation to generation about closure and the things that are important, it's all on pause. I everyone out there is being impacted on some sort of emotional roller coaster, even if they are dealing with all of the other things in a pretty, you know, mature way. This has to have a mental impact on everyone.
Absolutely. You know, I think this is kind of one of those things that we should, you know, be doing anyway, but now more than ever, now's a really good time to be kind to one another and, you know, stock up on some love and compassion for one another, because we're all struggling and in one way or another. Again, for some folks it's financial, for other folks you're directly on the front lines, our medical providers and our nurses and even our behavioral health staff here. And so it's important to sort of be kind to one another, which is why, again, even though, you know, even for our teenagers or kiddos in school, they might struggle with, why can't I go to school? And when we look at what's happening in the world, we might be tempted to kind of minimize their struggles. But I think it's important to still acknowledge it, right? So their struggles aren't going to be necessarily our struggles, but it's still valid. So now more than ever, I think it's important to reach out to let people know that you're still there for them, to check in on one another, to take each other's emotional temperatures and try to be a sense of respite or support for
and
each other.
Just be kind. It seems so simple. Yet when I watch some of the behavior on social media, I know mental illness, it's getting better. We're talking about it. It doesn't have the stigma it had. But I can only believe that seeing some of the stuff I see on social media, there has to be problems underlying some of this behavior. And I hope people will get help. Tell me a little bit about the SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. There is a hotline where you can call, right?
Yeah. So SAMHSA is wonderful. They came out with a disaster distress hotline, and that number is 1-800-985- 5990. And so that's a 24/7 resource. And that's, another lifeline, right? And so some people, we talk about organic support. Some of us have organic supports where you can, you know, call your mother, sister, aunt, spouse. But some people don't. And previously working for an employee assistance program, I got to witness that firsthand, that when folks were in crisis, maybe they either didn't have those close supports or they didn't feel they didn't trust them. And so they reached out to us, and I'm glad that they did. But I think it's two things that is important for us to do. One is to try to be a source of support for others while balancing your own mental health. That's important. So understanding your boundaries and your limitations as well. But then also I think with reinforcing boundaries is also important to give out those numbers like the hotline to SAMHSA or the crisis text line or things to that nature.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think people might be embarrassed to talk to someone they know, and maybe talking to a stranger might be easier for them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. There's no judgment. That's why therapy works so great, because there should be this neutral kind of unbiased professional relationship and rapport. And so, yeah, it's important to still do that. If you're a patient, even of Crossing Healthcare, still speaking with your medical provider, both myself and my counselors here, we are still providing therapy services. And so we've transitioned those to primarily phone counseling sessions. And actually some of my patients, they really enjoy that, you know, because they're sort of in the comforts of their own home. And I'm talking to them from home. So it's different, but they've enjoyed it. And so, yeah, just again, still connecting with one another and finding ways to connect.
Charmaine, you are literally a voice of calm in a sea of storms, and we appreciate you and what you do. My last message to everyone is there is no shame in asking for help. There's a lot of people out there willing to offer it, and you maybe have never asked before. Don't let that be a barrier, because everybody's going to need to lean on everybody to get through this, and we really appreciate you being with us today. Good luck and stay safe, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Charmaine Robertson-Stoner, the Behavioral Health Supervisor at Crossing.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.